Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it, raise it. Emotion.
You provide fire.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we have gained in understanding and wisdom and faith. Thank you, Father, for being our God. Father, we thank you that you have poured into us everything that we need for life and godliness, and we thank you, Lord, for what you have told and have proclaimed us to be since the foundations of the world. Father, the word says that we're overcome by the word of our testimony, Lord God, and your scriptures reveal to us that you are our word. It is only through you, Lord Father, that we can become new creatures in Christ, that we can give up our old ways and slip through every devised trap that the enemy has set to try to steal our salvation. Father, we thank you because we want to become like you, Lord, and we know that if we keep your covenant, that we can assume the divine nature. Father, your divine nature and all the attributes of spiritual that you have given us, Lord Father, provides us a way out. You have given your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You have given your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us to all truths. Father, we bless you and we thank you for everything that you have given to us, everything that you said about us, and everything that we have grown to understand about you. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for tuning in to Bible study today, Kingdom Awareness Bible Study, where we're going to talk about our testimony. Many of us have heard testimonies throughout our life. We've heard things and what people say about what God can do for them or what God has done for them. But I'm going to share with you through scriptures about what a testimony really is. You know, if you think about a testimony and think about it in court and things like that, in law, or someone's on trial or whatever the case may be, what usually ends up happening is that the lawyer of the person that's on trial, they tell them, we're not going to let you speak on your own behalf. We're not going to let you say anything because you can damage our defense if you say something about yourself. You know, and I began to think about testimony and began to think about how the Word of God is and what Jesus says about the Word of God and what Jesus even says about testimony. You know, even back when the Pharisees and the scribes in that day, they thought also that a testimony is not what you say about yourself. Testimony, and actually scripturally speaking, is what someone else says about you. See, most people relate their testimony to a host of religious cliches. They'll say, I am this, and I am that, and I'm this, and I'm that, but they have no backing into it. You know, there's a lot of things that we have taken out of context in regards to what God has said that we are since we were created before the foundations of the world. You know, we used to even recite this little thing that we used to recite this little, I don't even know what to call it. It was a little mantra, so to speak, at the beginning of Bible study. And it was always pertaining to what I can get, what I can get. I remember that mantra. But in John chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnessed of me is true. I found that, and I read that, and I started to study that for a while. This is not something new that just popped up. But Jesus was even telling us, the Pharisees, he said, the Pharisees said to him, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus replied, even if I testified, I'm by myself. my testimony is valid because I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. I thought that was just amazing. It just blew me out the water. That's in John 8:14, by the way. So when I started to read about testimony and what Jesus said about the testimony and what he said about his own testimony, and also in another scripture, like we said, we're going to read in John chapter 5, what he said in regards to his testimony around verses 31 and 32. So what I want you to understand most is sometimes we get caught up in saying so much about us and ourselves, other people don't even believe it. You know, we look at our testimony and we look at things like that, and there's nothing that bears witness to what we're saying we are. There is nothing that bears witness along with that, that goes with that, what we're saying. So when we start talking about our testimony, now if you're walking down the street and someone says, "There goes a good man," you don't have to say that. They said that about you. They said that about you. So it kind of wonders, if you have to say that about yourself, is it really true? Because most of the time when you say, "Oh, I'm a good man, I'm a good person," that means there's some doubt somewhere that you're thinking, or someone is combating or coming against you to make you even make that statement. You wouldn't even need to have to validate yourself being a good man or a good woman or something like that if it had not been for someone to come up against you and challenge the fact that you are a good person. So when you start looking at testimony, and we're going to go to John chapter 5, starting at, let's go to verse 31. Matter of fact, let's go up one. John 5:30. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." This is powerful. Jesus said that. And he said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." This is Jesus saying that. But he says, "There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Now you got to look at this and what he's saying. He's saying that my actions and my works bear witness of who I am. So I don't really need you to justify who I am, because my works prove who I am. Jesus went around healing. He went around ministering, preaching the kingdom of God. And he said in Luke 4:43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. That's why I was sent." He said, "That's why God sent me to do this, to set the captives free," and all these things that Jesus did. Jesus went around doing exactly what his Father told him to do. Jesus said, "I of my own self can do nothing. I only do what I heard my Father tell me. I can only do what he sent me to do." So that means that God was bearing witness with Jesus. But don't even think about that, because it goes even further. There is so many other people that spoke a prophecy about Jesus before he even came. So when they did that, they were ushering into the light of Christ. John chapter 5 and 39. This is, I'm starting to get excited because we haven't even got down to 5 and 39. But I tell you what, let's keep going so I won't have to jump ahead. So he says that the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he have sent him, you believe not. Here's my favorite one. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are all testifying of me. That is awesome. Jesus said, search the scriptures. All of those things that you believe that you have eternal life with are talking about me, and I'm standing in front of you. See, we have Bible scholars. We have Bible scholars that like to debate the word, and I like debating the word to try to help people see the other side of the kingdom of God, to let them know that there are things that's inside these scriptures that people neglect to see or hear because they don't want to. But they come from that perspective of I, how great they are. They say, I am great because I am great. But they never once use God to validate it. See, you can walk around claiming that you love God all day long. But if your works don't support it, you have one witness, yourself. If your works don't support what you're saying or laying claim to who you are, then you have but one witness. And Jesus said, like we just read, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there is another that bear witness of me, and I know of that witness, and I know that witness of me that said is true. John said, I am not even worthy to latch your shoes. John preached about Jesus coming. The prophets prophesied about Jesus coming. And Jesus prophesied and talked and preached and ministered about the coming of the kingdom of God. Wow, that's some good stuff. But even through those scriptures reveal that our testimony is not what we say about ourselves. It's what other people say about us or something that bears witness of us, God. See, through the scriptures, God is telling us over and over again that I'm looking for obedient people. I'm looking for a royal priesthood. I'm going to make you that. I'm going to make you a nation of kings and priests. I'm going to do that, is what he said. But when we start to look about this design, about these promises that God has given to us, we fail sometimes to see that what God has given us are the promises to get rid of the darkness that's in our lives, to get rid of those things so that we may, in fact, receive the promises that were given through faith. See, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, once we get out of the God zone, we fall back down into the I zone, and we begin to testify of our own selves. We begin to understand, or lack of understanding, we don't see that Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 talking about faith means that faith is substance. Faith has things that a lot of people rarely look at to see that it's testifying of the faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is evidence and substance in faith. That means faith's witness is evidence and you're not hearing me. See, God requires us to live by faith. Not blind faith or faith that you can't see or faith that you believe you can command things and to move here and all that kind of stuff, you know, that kind of faith. But God is telling you that your faith even has a testimony. Your faith has a witness, and it has nothing to do with you starting with the word I. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Oh, this is good. That oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the knowledge, acknowledging of the truth. Oppose themselves. See, our claiming of the promises, the precious promises that God have given us, we have to see what those promises are for. We don't like to look and see that anything is going outside of what we believe we desire. See, that witness, like he said, oppose yourselves. If you bear witness of yourself through reciting some religious mantra or religious cliche, that means it's a present lie. That makes you a liar, or put it more delicately, to say something that is not true. If you don't believe me, ask Christ. Christ said it, John 5:31-32. See, we're overcome by the word of our testimony, as we're going to read in Revelation. Our testimony comes from God and his word. Make sure that your testimony bears witness of more than what you say about yourself. You know, when we continue to see, like we go to Revelation, let me read the whole thing, Revelation 12:11, they triumphed over him. Who is him? Talking about Satan. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so as much to shrink from death. Wow, that's powerful. The word of their testimony is the word of God. It's not talking about what you say. It's talking about what God says. See, we get too busy wrapped up in looking for what we want. We forget about what God wants. We forget about what his word says. We forget all these things, like Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, God demands and is pleased in our faith. Because our faith believes, like Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham believed even God who calls those things which be not as though they were. He believed who? He believed God. You know, and Jesus said that, read the scriptures. These things that they're speaking about is me. He said, I'm the one that they talked about. I'm the one that John preached about in the wilderness. I'm the one that they prophesied about. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. And at the second appearing of God's kingdom, at Jesus Christ, where we'll reign with Christ, it means that we're going to be in him. Therefore, it is of faith that ye might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. That is awesome. when we can receive and understand faith, understand that it's not empty, it's not blind. It has substance and it has evidence. That substance and evidence testifies of the faith. Our actions, the way we treat people, the way we love and fear God. See, we got out of fearing God. We got out of the fact that God is sovereign, that God can do what he wants to do. He can take you out with a snap of his finger, the blink of his eye, a whisk of his hand, or a blow from his breath. The same way he blew life into us, he can take life from us. That's pretty scary. Knowing that we serve a God that created everything, a God who I was watching the trees blow. I was watching the trees blow, and I was looking at how just with the wind, the trees obey the design that God created. Then it started to rain, and I was watching the rain as it hit the ground and hit the grass. I know a lot of people may not do that, but to me it was soothing because it told me that there is a God. It told me that God is in control. It told me that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. And he says, how much, if he clothed the grass, and if he'll do that for the trees, how much more would he do for me if I only have faith? I couldn't believe it. Romans 5 and 2. Through Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, grace means, let's tell you what grace doesn't mean first. Grace doesn't mean that you continue in sin. Paul says, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid that we continue in sin, because we don't want to do that. So when we understand that that's not what grace is for, then our design to know is once we understand that that thing that we did is a sin, we turn the other way. We no longer allow it to penetrate for us. Matter of fact, let me go back to John. John 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are testifying of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Well, this is good. You receive the one that comes in his own name. Oh, wow. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses. In him ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but I was trying to explain to them that even in the Old Testament, they were talking about Christ. They were talking about, prophesying about, writing about the coming of Christ, because they knew when God told them that this is what I need you to do, it was all leading toward the direction of Christ. Everything. Everything. And then here Christ comes on the scene. Christ didn't preach about Christ. He preached about the kingdom of God. But he also said that you have to come through me to get to that. Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Oh, that's good stuff. You have to come through me to see the kingdom of God. So while he told us about a lot of the precious treasures concerning the kingdom of God, you can do all that stuff, but if you have not went through Christ, it still eludes you, just like Christ said. Now back up in verse 43, where he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not, and others shall come in their name, and you receive them. That's no different than the people that you hear that popularize their own name through preaching Christ. Not in Christ. They don't stand in Christ because they want the glory. I was talking with somebody this morning, and she said that, man gets big-headed when they start to hear the applause, and they think that they're doing something. You know how I know they think they're doing something? Because it's on cue. It's on cue. It's on cue. That means that at a certain time, my inflection of my voice is going to elevate, because I need to get a rise out of the people. Oh, come on now. What I'm telling you is true. They need to get a rise out of the people so that they have to say certain things and do certain things. 2 Peter 3 and 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out from the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand, and a thousand is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's not talking about just a few. That's his God's desire, is that no one should perish. It's not his desire that any should perish. Now, we have this hang-up where we have to surround ourselves with church folk. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with surrounded like kind with like kind, but who can see your light in that environment if everybody in that environment is supposed to have light? Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. If everybody in that environment is supposed to have light, then who's seeing your light? See, we got to get out in the marketplace. We got to get out. Like Paul said, I didn't tell you, if you want to get away from people that sin, you're going to have to die. That's what he said. He said, you're going to have to die. But I'm not talking about you. I'm judging those that are without. I'm talking about you judging those that are within. They condemned Jesus and mocked him because, why are you eating with sinners? Jesus was just showing them the light. He was just showing them the light. He was showing them exactly what his Father had already showed him to do and what he showed him to say. But we continue to neglect that and not shine our light to those that need to see it. we shut up our bowels of compassion. We no longer give like we're supposed to give. We don't help like we're supposed to help. We don't do what we're supposed to do. So what I encourage people to do today is sit back and reflect and ask yourself, what do other people say about you? You know, I used to tell people that if four or five people say that it's true about you, you might want to believe it. If four or five people are coming to you saying, hey, you know, this guy is no good, and you got somebody else saying this guy is no good, and you got somebody else saying this guy is no good, and you got somebody else saying this guy is no good, but you got that guy saying, I'm good. I'm the best for you. You might want to listen to those five people. You know, how many times have we been in relationships like that? Where the person is saying that they're good, but you got this whole host of people saying, run. Run away. You got this whole host of people that's telling you that, no, that person is not good. But we dismiss what they say. We don't hear what they say. We want to do what we say. What we feel the chemicals in our body says. The testimony. Your testimony is not what you say about yourself. No matter how much you believe it, it's what other people say who you are. I'll read it again real quick. Jesus said, in John chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Our testimony is not related to a religious cliche or reciting a mantra or something about yourself. It could be encouraging sometimes for you to say, "Yeah, I'm a good guy, I'm a good person, I'm lovable, I'm hardworking," and you know, to encourage yourself. But if you did those things, would you have to tell yourself that? That's what I'm getting at you, trying to get through to you today. If you have to stand in front of a mirror and recite over and over and over again that you're a hard worker, but when you go to work, your boss tell you that you're slacking off. And everybody else says, hey, you can't trust that person. That person ain't going to do what it takes. That person's not consistent. That means what you said about yourself is a lie. And no matter how many times you say it, who are you trying to convince? Because if you repented, you would change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, your behavior changes because you're no longer the same creature. You're a new creature in Christ. And being a new creature in Christ means that you have heirs to this thing called divine nature. This divine nature. See, there are two immutable things that God told us that we're going to have: his counsel and his promise. His counsel and his promise. Hebrews 6:16-18. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two, here we go again, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. This is good. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Two immutable things, counsel and an oath. Counsel and an oath. Now, this goes back way back in Isaiah and all of those things and Proverbs and all of that. Well, Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord is going to be true. More than one testimony. Watch one of them crime shows, and you'll see that the lawyer tells the person that on the what do you call it, the defense that they're defending, no. You're not going to take the stand. If you look on live TV, not just the shows, on live TV, there are people that done things, that like the guy that did the thing with the baby in the car, and it was like it was all over the news. His lawyers don't want him to take the stand. The woman that was on trial for killing her husband, she's not going to take the stand. Why? Because it's incriminating. They don't want them testifying of their self. Because just like the Pharisees said, John 8:13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." Think about it. There's a reason why they don't want a person testifying about their self, because the testimony is not true. You can tell yourself or somebody how great you are, how wonderful you are, but if nobody else can back it up, then it's your word against God's. So what is your testimony saying about you? What is your testimony speaking about you? What does everybody else say about you that you don't agree with? Because that, my friends, is your testimony. That is your testimony. So what I need you to get is change that. If when you repent, you change your mindset concerning that thing, and you begin to do things differently. You begin to walk differently. You begin to talk differently. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God, for your word. Father, we come to you asking your forgiveness. We also ask forgiveness, Lord Father, because we have been walking this way far too long. We have been walking in doubt, disbelief, lack of faith. We have continued into a lifestyle of darkness that you have already been crucified for. Father, we ask that you allow your spirit to come lead and guide us to all truth, showing us, Lord God, how we may obtain the precious promises through Christ entering into your kingdom. Father, we bless you because you are our God, and we love you, Lord God, and we fear you. Father, we ask that you bless us, and you continue to open our eyes to the truth, able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy that comes at us. We believe, Lord God, that you have us in your bosom, Lord God, because we are what you said we are. We just have to believe it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? Any questions or comments? You know, I thank you for tuning in. Feel free to call me. Go back and listen, you know, to a lot of the broadcasts. You know, you can see the ministry evolving, and as we continue to unfold the truth and let our works bear witness to who we are. And we're going to continue to do that despite anybody else who does not believe in the Word of God. God says that you're able, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. All things through Christ that strengthens you. All things through Christ that strengthens you. It didn't say some things. It said all things. But the hardest part is getting yourself to believe the testimony about yourself. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Amen.
You have just tuned in to Kingdom Awareness Radio with your host, Pastor Mark A. Fields of Kingdom Life Ministries International. Call us at 803-940-8928. Again, the number is 803-940-8928. Or email us at kingdomlifeministries.klm@gmail.com. Again, the email address is kingdomlifeministries.klm@gmail.com. And remember, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless you. Good night, and thank you for tuning in.